You can listen to The Professional Left on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for March 29th, 2019. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from the Cornfield Resistance, where we have never, ever been invited to Meghan McCain's wedding, it's the Professional Left with Driftglass and Blue Gal.
You were at my wedding, Denise, is now a meme.
Yes.
Apparently a lady named Denise on Twitter ragged on The View and how they're a bunch of idiots and they never make any sense and they're terrible people and it's on and on. And Meghan McCain, she apparently has a blue check mark, and Meghan McCain saw that tweet and said, "You were at my wedding, Denise." And that is now a meme. So we don't have that problem here at the Cornfield.
No.
Driftglass buys his pants at Farm and Fleet.
Well, when the other farm and family store is not open, I go there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They fit, so, damn it. They fit. I'm a very tall guy, and people
you
don't
are.
Make clothes
you're one,
for
I think
like
you're
me.
Probably the tallest podcaster.
I am easily I am taller than Bob Seska. Okay.
And he's a tall guy.
And when he appears on the Stephanie Miller show, by the way, if you ever need someone to substitute height wise for Seska or wit wise for Charlie Pierce, I bat second to them at all times, but just dial me up. I'm usually free on those days. Mm-hmm. I'm a very tall gentleman and possibly the tallest podcaster slash blogger in America.
You might
be. Possibly. I could very well be. I'm not kidding about that. I could very well
no,
be.
No, really. There. Really. Because we found out the tallest politician, Guinness Book of World Records, is a guy in New York City. He's a councilman from Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And his name is Robert Cornegie, Cornegy. He's 6'10".
Yes, he is.
So he's taller than you by a couple inches, but only by a couple inches. Yeah, just a couple.
And my wonderful wife said, "I wonder where he gets his clothes." And I said, "Honey, he lives in New York.
New York City,
okay?
Yes.
Okay. I don't think there's any problem him finding someone.
He doesn't have to go to Farm and Fleet to find pants enough.
Where's the Farm and Fleet in Brooklyn? There are
Brooklyn
probably
has
several.
Plenty of tailors there to cut a pair of pants and a necktie for him. Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure there's 10 stores where I can pull something off the rack and wear it.
In Brooklyn. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Enough about me, really. This week, our podcast is sponsored by me.
Yes, it is.
This is my tomorrow or the next day will be my 14th year of continuous individual single shingle blogging. I've been doing this longer than I've been doing almost anything else. And I'm still doing it.
And this is a good time to send the podcast $14.
It is.
$1.40.
$7. Some multiple of that.
Yeah.
$140,
$1,400. Do some math. Work it into your budget. Figure out if your income tax refund came. Whatever it is. Send the podcast a little moolah. We also have a GoFundMe going on for our auto repair. Thank you to people who have already donated to that. That's going kind of slow, and I understand why. It's auto repair. It's not healthcare. I understand you have priorities. Everybody has priorities. But
and because this ad wasn't free, I had to dig way down in my pocket to afford to put an ad on this podcast.
Like
it's very
all
popular.
Of our fake ads on our podcast. This one is not fake.
it's a real ad. It's a fake ad for a real blog, which is mine. This is how you grow your media empire.
Your
I'm
brand.
Talking, of course, now to the Pod Save America boys who really do need my help. here's how you do. You start off as a blogger like 14 years ago before, you know, when you were in college or I don't know, maybe you weren't shaving then. Eventually you become a podcaster and then you watch your brand grow organically, which ours has over the last 9 years. So we're incredibly grateful to our listeners and our audiences and the people who pass the word along to others. I think this year, rather than boring people with a fundraiser that does like top 10. Here's what I did over the last 14 years. Golly, hasn't it been a long time? Look at my hair back then. Wasn't it amazing? I think I'm just going to put up a list of best ofs, what I consider to be my best posts, and ask people to forward them along to five people.
Oh, interesting.
That's all. Yeah. That's all. Because I have noticed, having gone through my archives yet again, I am writing exactly the same stuff I was writing 14 years ago. And that depresses the shit out of me. You know, for my oldest post that really went anywhere, went big. One of them was Little Red State Funding.
Yes. And you've used that a lot. And that one and the Bushbelly Sneeches are the two that come most to mind. Yeah. Yeah.
I did Like a Virgin and I did Bushbelly Sneeches and in the beginning. But my oldest one, this was in 2005. That's 14 years ago, boys and girls. I was writing about the fact the Republican Party had become captive to its wingnut fundamentalist base, and that wingnut fundamentalist base was now calling the tune, and the candidates were now having to kowtow to the monster they had created. That was 14 years ago.
Yeah.
So how is it? I saw that coming, and I'm sure you did too. Most of our listeners, I'm sure most of my readers saw that coming long before then. This is just, I happened to start writing 14 years ago. I've been thinking this shit for a quarter of a century or more.
Well, and you were writing at the news blog before you started blogging, so.
I was a commenter there. This is the part of the podcast where I mentioned why liberals are not allowed on television.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first question any liberal would have for anybody who suddenly discovered that their Republican Party was full of Republicans 5 minutes ago is, how is it I'm just an idiot who lives in a cornfield and I saw this coming a quarter of a century ago? And you're a paid professional analyst who's on television and has a book deal and has an op-ed column, and you've been swearing on the lives of your fucking children for 20 years that everything I say isn't true. And now that it is true, you act shocked. Fine. Go off and do good works. Mm-hmm. Go off and do reparative works. You know, heal the world from all the damage you caused. But get out of the way, because you don't belong behind a chair sharing your opinions with anyone, because either you are completely dishonest, either you've been lying for 20 years, or you're just that fucking stupid. Either way, you have no business getting paid to share your opinions with millions of people. You should just move along. Go to some hospital and clean out bedpans. Go work with the poor. Those are all honorable things, and those should be done. And believe me, the party you created and turned loose on the world has made those places of misery and fear and doubt and pain much worse than they already would have been.
You're making the world a worse place. That's the problem.
You being on fucking Morning Joe or getting a book deal and going, oh my God, the Republican Party. Who knew the Republican Party was this bad? Golly, this game is a shock. That shit, getting paid hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars to say the things that liberals have been saying for 20 years, doesn't make the world one little bit better. Because the second sentence out of your fucking mouth is, and this all started when Trump came down the escalator.
Right.
Before that, the GOP was just fine. And that's the big lie. And that's the big lie that you don't want to hear anyone like me ask anyone like you on camera with people watching.
Hey, Drift Class, I gotta interrupt you, because before we get on to talking about Mueller and everything else, there's a couple of housekeeping things that I want to let our listeners know.
Yes.
One is that within the next 4 to 6 weeks, you and I at our little podcast will have our 5 millionth listen.
Really?
Yes.
Shit.
We're at 4.972.6.
Okay. All the sweary, complainy stuff I just did, could you just edit all that out?
And,
We
will have had 5 million total listens, which is incredibly exciting, and we're so grateful to you guys. I mean, we don't pay attention to stats. This is the first time I checked stats in this year, really. 2019. That's the first time I've checked.
You want to know? This is the first time I checked Stat Counter. Was last night. First time in a year I checked my stats for my blog. Just because I don't care.
Right.
It is not relevant to me anymore.
Right.
How big the audience?
I'm more interested in the envelopes of cash that come into our
PFA. Flying over the transom.
No, really, I'm interested in if we go a few days and we haven't gotten emails from people. That never happens. Usually, we get an email or two every day from a listener asking or contributing something or something. Then I know, oh no, we're being heard. People are hearing us. There's not a problem with the audio. You know, somebody listened to the podcast today and had something to say to us. Then that's sort of my register for activity for the podcast. Are we getting emails?
I can say for sure that only half of those listens are my mom, so you know, that's 2.5 million that are
right
completely
there.
Not my mother, so you know.
But no, that so that's very exciting. And the other thing that's very exciting, Drift Glass, is that before too long we are going to have our 500th episode.
We are.
And we want to do something special for that. We're working on it. Our angel nerd, Tammy, said the other day, emailed me and said, you know, your 500 episodes coming up. We got to do something big. Mm-hmm. And my initial thought was we should ask people, and I can do this right now, if you have the capability of emailing us an audio file of you saying something, where your first name and where you're from, and maybe what you're doing for 2020, what is going on in the landscape of your local politics. We'd love to hear about that.
Yeah, that's great.
Let us know. Are you doing postcards to voters? Are you going to start knocking on doors? Are you volunteering? Are you in Iowa and you're just inundated with, I've only met four of the candidates and one of them I only met three times. Yeah, I get that.
Or do you work for Howard Schultz? I'd love to hear from you guys too.
I work for Howard Schultz. Yeah. Well, if you're a barista, then you do work for Howard Schultz.
And
that's,
you do.
That's an honorable profession too. But we want to hear from you. We are also going to, I'm not prepared to do this week, but before too long, we will be opening up a Skype hotline where you can leave us a voicemail if you don't have the capability to record yourself and send an audio file to us. You'll be able to call in and leave that information on a voicemail where we can retrieve it. So
just FYI, my dear wife has just created for herself a knitting project of epic proportions. Because that's what she does.
Yeah, that's all right.
But it'll end up beautiful with all the
in the show. So
all the ends will be worked in. Yep. That's an expression I know now because I'm married to
it'll
you.
It'll be a lot of stockinette.
Yeah.
People that knit know what I'm talking about. A lot of plain knitting going back and forth. It'll be fine. And I would love to hear from you. So we will get that up. I will make sure we get that phone number on the site and around and on the show this within the next couple weeks. But be prepared for that. We're also working on Science Fiction University. Science Fiction University will drop in the fall. It's going to be 7 episodes, we believe.
Might be in the summer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay, it's the fall. It'll be the fall.
You know, it's back to school. It's going to be after Labor Day. Right. We're going to
have
to school, Science Fiction University. And we're going to have 7 episodes. They're going to drop all at once. And they will be...
just like Netflix,
honey. Just like Netflix. And it'll be one book and one movie that have a common theme that we'll talk about for an hour, 7 episodes, and we will do fundraisers for season 2 and see if this is popular enough, then we'll do a season 2. But right now we're working on the season 1. Because we're doing it chronologically, it's a lot of white guys. I just got to warn you. We will. Yeah. What we're hoping to do in season 2 is do more women and people of color and women of color because that part of the science fiction world is very exciting these days.
It is.
So,
very much so.
We will be hopefully working on that too.
Can I tease one little thing?
Sure.
One little thing.
This is the teasing hour.
One of the episodes we're working on right now, now is doing a very, very deep read of Philip K. Dick's Ubik.
Yep.
And a very, very deep watch of Inception.
Right.
And the theme, the tentative theme is going to be the unreliable world.
Yeah. And that is actually very, very much connected to our podcast today, the unreliable world.
That's the only reason I was going to tease it, because there is a certain dreamlike quality to the world now that I want to talk about in greater depth.
Yeah,
but
no,
that
really
definitely
cool.
was influenced by what we've been reading over the last, finding the proper vocabulary for it. I think our reading and our movie watching has definitely made it possible for me to really put into words how it feels to be alive and political.
Absolutely. Because the people that are telling us the story of what's happening cannot be trusted.
Yes.
And that's true in Ubik and that's true in Inception. And so, that's really cool. That's a really cool way to look at what we're dealing with the Barr letter. And in large part with how the media is jumping from story to story and not focused.
Because I was thinking about this today. Why everything has kind of a kind of an oily nightmare feel to it. Because, you know, everyone says this feels like a nightmare. It's a horrible nightmare. But that's just a signifier that people put on something that feels awful. I don't feel like Freddy Krueger is going to slice me up in this dream. But it has the absolute structural elements of an actual nightmare. Time in this time that we're going through feels weird. It feels elastic. It doesn't run at the right rate. To me, the distance between George Bush stealing the 2000 election and today feels like a month.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it just feels like that happened. Now, all the events are still there. I can recall them all because, you know, I'm a liberal and I have a memory. But it feels like a month. Sometimes it feels like, oh, that just happened. Like, how could you forget that happened? Forgetting that an entire generation has sort of grown up since then. But at the same time, the distance between like Hope Hicks praising the dear leader for his, you know, enthusiasm and great golf scores and blah, 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 or the latest pile of shit lies Donald Trump told and the pile before that, the distance between those seems like years. It seems like this just fucking never ends. It's just, oh, really? That's right. This is Tuesday, isn't it? This is Thursday, isn't it? It feels like a month from now. So time is simultaneously in a very weird way running very fast and very slow.
It seems
like the Obama administration lasted about an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Trump administration is lasting forever.
Mm-hmm.
And the second element that's very much present is the presence of the villains in the nightmare.
Yeah.
The villains in the nightmare are the zombie villains. They just kind of are mindless, shambling, human-looking creatures.
Betsy DeVos.
Yeah, well, and I'm thinking of the Republican base that just keep coming. That just keep coming at you. They're the shambling monsters that look human, but when you see them up close, they don't act human at all. And they make sounds, but their words don't make any sense. So when you see people talking Republican or online acting Republican, just yapping out MAGA, freedom, guns, just, you know, baby killer, lock her up, it's hard for me to perceive those people as fully three-dimensional people. They are nightmare characters that are just keep shambling out of the shadows endlessly, grabbing at you, slowing you down, grabbing your legs, and trying to pull you under. So between the nightmare aspect of the way the villains of our political universe are behaving, they're behaving like zombies. Because you can't reason with them. You grab them by the lapels and ask them to make sense, and they just gibber at you and smirk and laugh and piss on your leg. So, you know, you can imagine grabbing Ben Shapiro and say, why do you say the shit you do? Just having him laugh and laugh and disappear.
Mm-hmm.
It's that quality. It's the way that time is structured these days. Oh, the way our brains are registering time and the way our brains are registering the bad guys. You put those two together, it really does feel like an actual nightmare. And that's, I think, what's throwing that's what everyone is sort of, or at least me, is troubling my sleep. Is making it hard for me to get restful night's sleep because it feels like every time I get up, I'm still asleep and there's still something horrible going on. And it's happening all around me and it doesn't make any sense because no sane person would be this way. It's the dream logic.
Mm-hmm.
There's no logic in anything they're doing. It doesn't make any fucking sense to cut Special Olympics and then laugh about it.
Right, right.
It's like, what's the cruelest, most horrifying? Who's the most vulnerable person we can do and just kick them in the fucking teeth and then stare at you like, well, of course we had to do that because we have no money.
Tough choices in the best economy ever. It's the best economy ever, but yes, we're broke. Yeah. Yeah.
But that's to me specifically how it feels, why it feels nightmarish. Mm-hmm. Not because, again, just the word being used as an all-purpose catch-all for, gosh, this seems bad, but it literally does have all of the mental triggers of a dream state, a nightmare dream state.
Yeah, yeah.
And it helps me to realize that. It really does kind of make me feel like, oh, okay, this is why it feels weird, because it is fucking weird. And it's not that we're normalizing it. It's not that we're, you know, getting used to it. It's that we're living in someone else's nightmare.
And we're living in a time when the people writing the story and trying to tell the story above all the other voices, above our own voice, are completely unreliable. And
yes,
and
absolutely.
We are in the middle of a cover up in plain sight. I've said that dozens of times and read it elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Now it's getting picked up. This cover up right in front of you is exactly the kind of gaslighting that we've had since 2015, since before 2015. You've said in the Bush administration, this was going on as well. We create our own reality. You know, we aren't the reality based community. We create our own reality. Well, they're able to do that for about 44% of the American people.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to social media and you see it. You see people who are just zombies and think, we don't need to see the truth. We don't need to see 700 pages of evidence because it wouldn't make any difference to them anyway.
Well, and the kick to steal from Inception.
Yeah.
The kick we on the left always hope for is, well, history.
Yep.
Well, eventually history will catch up and judge these people. Eventually reality will just slap them awake. No, it won't. Mm-hmm. No, absolutely it won't. Remember, Barack Obama lost the Iraq war. Mm. You know, no matter what happens, no matter how bad things get, they will turn around and say, it's your fault.
Uh-huh.
It's this week, Donald Trump is saying, Democrats have screwed you over on healthcare and everything bad about it is their fault. We're the party of healthcare.
Yeah.
We're the party who's going to save the healthcare system. And the whole and the cow dumb zombie right all nod their head and drool and say, he's right, you know, that's exactly true. And there's no waking them up. There's no turning them around. It doesn't matter how bad reality gets. Whatever happens, I've said this before, if Sean Hannity told them to throw themselves into a live volcano, they would.
Mm-hmm.
And at the instant of their death, as they are perishing from the flames, they would blame liberals for the pain. They don't know how to do anything else, because to do anything else is to admit that they have been wrong about everything their entire fucking lives, and they would rather burn the planet down than do that. And the people who run the Republican Party know that. They know that these people are never going to change, that they will just keep giving them all their money and all their votes and their blood and their organs and their lives and their children until they die.
But I want to talk for a minute about Donald Trump and healthcare, because one of the things that is making Donald Trump say all of these things about healthcare is that he believed Paul Ryan.
Yes.
He believed every lie Paul Ryan said on Fox News.
Yes.
And so to believe, oh, you know, the market will take care of it and we're going to make sure the costs are lowered because of the marketplace will fix healthcare. There is no, this is blackmail. There is no marketplace. If you don't buy the product, you die. That's not a market. And so people wanting this to be the Ayn Rand healthcare system forget that she went on Medicare. She went on Social Security. Once you're going to die, if you don't do it, if you don't purchase the whatever the product is, that's not a marketplace anymore. And here is the Fox News viewer in chief. Repeating the lies that he has heard for the past 10 years on healthcare. That's all he's doing.
Well, and this is the Ayn Rand healthcare system.
It is. Yeah.
In that the rich people want poor people to die.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, as I've said a few times on a few occasions, Atlas Shrugged is just the Manson family with money.
yes.
You know, because Atlas Shrugged is a bunch of supermen and women hiding out in a valley. Actions they take cause the end of the world and presumably billions of people dying, because the last scene is the lights in New York finally going out. Mm-hmm. You know what that means for hospitals and schools and everything else. And them celebrating that fact by tracing the symbol of a dollar sign in the air with their cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
That's Charles Manson told his family, we're going to hide out in the desert in like Galt's Gulch, and then there'll be a race war, and then we will come out of Galt's Gulch and take over because we're Superman.
We're Superman,
This is oligarchs have enough money to put this through. They really do think that useless eaters and parasites and moochers like us should just die, should just go away.
And you mentioned that the Davos crowd talking about the left behind in the economy.
Yeah.
Yep. And our Secretary of Commerce saying that too. You know, it's only 800,000 people that are affected by the shutdown and what I don't understand why they're going to homeless shelters for food.
Why not just sell some stock or cash in some of the platinum that you have stored under your floorboards with the bodies of your enemies? Everyone has that right.
Yeah.
But remember, this is almost exactly a year ago. It was Donald Trump who said that a great plan coming out within 4 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Great health care. This was a year ago. And of course, but his base doesn't remember what happened a year ago or what happened 4 weeks ago or what happened this morning. That's what makes them indestructible. You can tell them he said that and they'll look at you like, I don't understand words. Words don't mean anything to me. What does the dear leader say? And the dear leader say, I never said that. That's all fake news. So arguing with them over Donald Trump already lied to you about this. He lied to you once. He already told you, I'm going to deliver great health care for pennies on the dollar. It's going to cover everybody. It's going to be fucking awesome.
October 2016 in Florida. Yeah. He said it. Yep.
And no one on the Republican Party remembers that at all.
Which is why Crooks and Liars has that on a 22-second video that I can pull out and put on Twitter anytime I need to.
That's why Crooks and Liars is so much fun at parties.
It's
you just
satisfying.
Whip it up, baby.
I do it for my own satisfaction, not to teach anybody anything, just to say, I have proof and I'm going to show it. I want to talk about Chris Hayes and Bernie Sanders for just a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was really impressed with Bernie Sanders' explanation as to what his Medicare for All plan does. He is phasing it in over 4 years. He's going to start with two of the more vulnerable populations. All children, regardless of whether your parents have employer-sponsored health care, are eligible for Medicaid in the first year. Medicare, excuse me, in the first year. And everyone over 55 is eligible for Medicare in the first year of his plan. And then he phases in other populations in a four-year plan. And I think that that's a really great idea because it gets a buy-in from lots and lots of people. Your parents will have health care and your children will have health care.
That's right.
And those are vulnerable populations, and that's a really great idea. The thing that got news from this interview was Bernie Sanders saying that he was not going to vote for the House plan, which is an immediate plan to improve the Affordable Care Act. And I think he was trying to distinguish himself as, no, the real plan is to get people covered and not do piecemeal things. But it came across as, I'm not working with Democrats on improving health care immediately. I want my plan to go through. That did not go over well with progressive bloggers and commenters, because it makes it sound like you're not working with Democrats and you need to do that.
As long as the Senate in 2020 we have 60 independent senators from Vermont in the Senate, it will work great.
They all have to shake their fingers.
Yeah. And they're all the same. And no, your revolution is not revolutionary enough. We need a revolution of revolutions, my friend.
Yeah.
And fine, try to outdo each other in
right.
progressive policy. That's great.
And we'll have 18 months. I swear to God, if we get a majority in the Senate, we've got until the midterms to do what we're going to do. Because
a veto-proof majority in the Senate. That's the important part.
Unless they blow up the filibuster, which
I'd be happy
I would do that if I was Democratic president with a Democratic Senate. Forget it. We don't have time to mess with, you know, Mitch McConnell standing up and objecting or Rand Paul objecting to whatever.
No. Well, and I think that any Democratic candidate, whether they're Bernie Sanders or Pete Buttigieg or Kamala Harris, or I'm leaving out the other nine, Elizabeth Warren, who has one great plan coming out every few days.
She
after
does.
Another.
She is remarkable.
She's amazing.
She's getting, she's freaky how much younger she gets every day on the campaign trail.
It really is. She's really
it's
into
science
this.
I mean, it's fiction really, freaky.
Uh-huh. Yeah. she's President Benjamin Button.
She is.
She's aging backwards.
It's true.
The thing that they have to answer, to my satisfaction, I don't care, when you hear phrases I would like to see done and over is the American people, the voters. And it's neither left nor right, blue gal. This is not a partisan issue. Fuck you. Everything is a partisan issue now, in case you hadn't noticed. I would like to hear Democratic candidates have to answer questions from Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Because I'd like to hear him, just as the sort of elder statesman of the party, the senior most elected official, you know, in the Republican Party, a two-term Democratic president, who had many, many failures and many, many run-ins, say, so how do you plan to get this past Joe Manchin? How exactly do you plan to get this past the ghost of Joe Lieberman? Believe me, I love their strategy. I love your thinking. I love your energy. Love where you're going with that. Explain to me the tactically, because I made a lot of mistakes. I presume the Republican Party wouldn't try to stab me the minute I put my hand on the Bible. I was wrong. I presumed I could persuade them by publicly shaming them into supporting their own bill. I was wrong. They're fucking monsters, and they've only gotten worse. Got it. We all can all agree on that. How do you Democrats, how do you candidates plan to get the Democratic Senate to assemble a bill and pass it, given how raucous that caucus is? Just ask, and it's a very good question and a legitimate question, because everyone has great policies, but very few people I've heard talking about the tactics they plan to use, other than, you know, the Cory Booker plan of, well, I'll just love everybody and then it'll all work out. No,
and be
that
vegan.
Won't work.
Don't forget, you got to be vegan.
That won't
we
work.
We have a vegan in our house.
So. We do, and we love her dearly. Also on the chopping block, in addition to Obamacare, as you mentioned, are the Special Olympics and autism funding.
And I was really upset that night.
You know,
you could barely talk to me.
We got a suggestion over the transom that this last week was so tectonic, I believe the word the gentleman used, with the Mueller report and Bill Barr, you know, issuing his fortune cookie report, that it would have been helpful to have another episode of this podcast just done. And you know what? In theory, again, theoretically, that's a brilliant idea. I love your revolution. Practically speaking, we were sort of in between punching the wall, raged and catatonic with grief, and just sort of frustrating tears that here we fucking go again.
Right.
You get back on the merry-go-round. Oh, God, they're taking our health care away.
ACA again. ACA again. Autism funding again. Which is very personal to me. And our family. And Special Olympics. And this rat-a-tat. And Mike Lee of Utah on the floor of the Senate holding up Tauntaun pictures.
Yeah.
And Raptor Aquaman. Picture. And... this was his cute way of dissing the Green New Deal on the, you know, he had to outdo Snowball, right? The Snowball on the Senate floor. He had to outdo that. And all of this just seemed to be, and you called it, you had a more violent way of talking about it.
I usually
but
do.
It just seemed to me to be, let's put on a circus to make liberals cry.
Right.
So that they will be so distracted that they will forget to ask for the full report.
Right.
It felt that way. Like, oh, they're going to take the thing that enraged sick people, that enraged anyone who is vulnerable, and that enraged liberals, but that one issue that they lost on.
Right.
In November, they lost on that big. They lost 40 seats.
No,
everybody
didn't.
Knows
no,
that.
They didn't. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. No, they didn't.
Fake news. Fake news.
That,
yeah.
The point being that this is a conversation that makes sense when you are a liberal. There is no one on the right who will publicly admit that's the problem. Donald Trump will never admit he lost. Right.
But it felt as though this was a conspiracy against my mind.
It was. It absolutely
was. To gaslight me on the Mueller report, gaslight America on the Mueller report, cover up in plain sight, and then the next day have to be fighting for my health insurance again.
Yeah. It felt like that. And you remember the images of Saddam Hussein with the little American boy, and he was patting him on the head. And this was clearly a hostage situation. You know, Saddam Hussein was standing there with this little kid, and he was patting him on the head. It's like, you know what happens if you fuck with me? You know that, right? You know what's going to happen. And the kids, and it was terrifying. But this really does have the feeling of, I am going to fuck you up. And I'm going to find the most vulnerable, weak, helpless people, and I'm going to put a boot on their throat until they choke. And then I'm gradually going to take my boot off and demand that they thank me for it. Because that's how fascists work.
Yep.
And Donald Trump loves hurting people. He loves humiliating them and hurting them and then making them say thank you afterwards, because that's how fascists work. And that is the kind of people that he has surrounded himself with, because the Republican Party is now almost nothing but people like that. Who love inflicting pain on other people because it makes them feel good. It makes them feel like they're alive. And so trying to find an opening, a little wedge, a ray of sunshine, a little ray of humanity among these people to appeal to, forget about it. They like hurting us. They like making us cry. The idea of taking funding away from sick people and poor people and children with handicaps and autism.
Disabled children.
Delights them. This is thrilling to them. And I will say, I will give a hat tip to a gentleman or a woman on the Twitter who calls him or herself Trump Laps at his supporters, who said this. I wrote a post about it yesterday. Hey, Ron Fournier, what do you think about both sides cutting the Special Olympics budget? P.S. I know it's just the GOP that's doing this, but I thought it would make me sound more serious to pretend it was both sides. Ron Fournier has a son who's autistic, and I'm sure he wrote a book about it. And, you know, this is a thing we share, and this is a thing that I admire him for. And I'm grateful that he wrote his book, and he does great advocacy on behalf. But this is what both-siderism gets you, Ron. This is what it gets you when Republicans do horrible things and you throw up your hands and say it's the corrupt duopoly. This is how this fucking story ends.
Yep.
So you need to stop doing that, and you need to start admitting that you were wrong. You need to walk this shit back. And I don't think he has it in him, because I don't think Ron Fournier or anyone like him is honest enough to admit. Maybe Matthew Dowd, who now thinks both sides do it, is the worst thing that ever happened. Whoever had this shitty idea that both sides were equally wrong. Anyway, this is, I won't get into the long, long, long list of things that we on the left have been right about all along, because we need to move on to other topics.
Well,
like,
I think we need to also dwell on release the report and don't allow a cover up in plain sight. And thank God we have people like Adam Schiff bringing the truth and saying this matters, and I'm not okay with it. I'm not okay with Don Jr. I'm not okay with Jared. I'm not okay with Roger Stone. You know, I'm not okay with the behavior of these monsters, and they can gaslight all they want.
To dismiss everything that happened in plain sight.
Yep.
Plus all of the secret briefings that they're not allowed to talk about because their security matters.
Yep.
And the grim look on their face going, things are really, really fucking bad. And then Bob Mueller produces his 40,000 page report that Bill Barr reads over the course of a lunch break and produces, you know, his little 4-page summary with little tiny sentence fragments. And can I mention what this reminds me of a little bit?
Sure.
Once upon a time when I worked for the city of Chicago, our department was audited. Now, we get audited all the time. We used to get audited all the time. I don't work there anymore, but it was a normal thing. You get audited, they find a few things, you sit down with them, you work out what you get, a B+, and the report says everything's pretty good. There's a couple things that are screwed up, and here's how we're going to fix it, and you move on. But in our department, the commissioner and the number two in the department went to war with each other. And the number two decided to use an auditing, who had friends at the state, who were our funders, who hated us, decided that she was going to use an auditing tool as a sledgehammer.
Wow.
And they went out and gave a big sack of money to an auditing firm and told them to go find something. And we got fucking blindsided. This was a 40-page report. It accused us of everything but, you know, killing the cat and stealing mom's, you know, walker.
Yeah.
It was just devastating. There was no sit down with the auditor. This thing was leaked by the number two in our department to the mayor, because the whole point of doing this was to get her boss fired. Ah. And she didn't care if she burned every fucking bridge in the universe. That's how much she hated her. And it was really uncomfortable being there. And so we were knocked back on our heels because we weren't expecting it. And it was devastating. And everyone was suddenly going, you know, let's put them out of business. Let's end this right now. Mm-hmm. But then we opened up the audit and looked through it and started doing our research. And found out the people who'd done the audit had no idea what the fuck they were talking
about. Oh, really?
Wow. They had never audited a workforce system. They had never audited for this kind of thing before. They hadn't really talked to anybody. They had just reverse engineered the results that they were ordered to create into a damning report and handed it over.
So this is like opposite day and Barr, right?
It's Barr opposite day. Yeah. It's Barr decided what the report was going to say before the report ever got to his desk. Mm-hmm. And he simply combed through it to find the sentence fragments that would support his conclusion and then wrote his little summary and said, well, I guess everything's cool.
Yeah.
Can't see anything here. Nope, nope, nope. And then the day came, again, paralleling but reverse, when we opened up the audit and found out, oh, it doesn't say this at all. And the people who did it were absolutely unqualified to do it. And this is actually a scandal because the people who were given a shitload of money should never have been involved in this process. Mm-hmm. Well, let's see the Mueller report.
Yep.
And if you're so proud of the Mueller report, and if it really does absolutely
exonerate
completely, which is the first fucking word out. This is a 40,000, I don't know how many pages, because no one knows.
It's between 300 and 700 pages from all of the reports called together. Right.
And it's not done yet because there's still grand juries out there. There's still counterintelligence stuff going on. But that Bob Barr, who believes presidents should pardon people who break the law,
Republican presidents should
absolutely be allowed to pardon people, should absolutely be allowed, who are above the law, literally above the law, because it is impossible for the chief executive, a Republican, to commit obstruction of justice. It just is. It's impossible. because he is a king and therefore above the law. That's what Bob Barr believes. That's what he said. That's what his letter said. He's very clear that he believes Republican presidents are monarchs. So and that's why if it were true, Donald Trump would be skywriting this fucking report all over the universe. Space Force would currently be hanging giant versions of this in orbit around the Earth. And certainly Mitch McConnell wouldn't be doing his dirty work in Congress trying to block the thing from being released.
Right.
And if you've read it already, maybe you could tell us what's in it. If it's going to take you 8 months to a year to who the fuck knows how long for us to go through it with a Sharpie and redact all that stuff. Really, did you read it? Because are there any parts at all you could release? Could you release the first part? Nope, just sentence fragments, just the ellipses. Fantastic ellipses. That's all. The movie review version we can release. Everything else is just a deep, dark secret. And the plan here is to keep the no collusion, no collusion, no collusion bullshit going long enough until that becomes the public narrative. Very much like George Bush won, George Bush won, George Bush won. And then a couple of months later, when it turns out maybe that didn't happen, it's like, well, we've already made him president. You know, it's already been done. That's already. So now you force Democrats to fight uphill against the established narrative. And that's the plan. And if they get away with it, we'll be taken to the streets.
Yeah. That's right.
There'll be millions of Democrats taking to the streets and making very clear that we do not accept the legitimacy of this president, of this Republican Party, and feel no compunction, feel no constraint about treating them like we would any other traitor who's taken over our country and is holding it by force.
That's right. That's right. Driftglass, we got to get to the news roundup, which includes a whole bunch of good news as well. There is good news out there, people.
You don't want to talk about Joe Biden versus the evil patriarchy?
That's that virtual reality thing, you know, where, entered the Joe Biden versus the patriarchy virtual reality.
And two very quick items. David Brooks has gone around demanding everyone apologize for everything.
Except actually, he's Democrats not apologizing for the Iraq war, you notice.
He's not apologizing for anything. For anything. I wrote a long post saying, hey, isn't it weird how David Brooks won't apologize for anything or even acknowledge he ever said anything? And now he's saying everyone on the left should apologize because he read a fortune cookie that Bill Barr gave him that said exoneration. Yeah. And everyone should just shut up and be really sad. I'm talking to you, Beto O'Rourke.
Yeah.
I think because his young wife kind of has a thing for Beto
probably.
O'Rourke.
She probably yells out Beto at the wrong time. Yeah. Yes.
He probably really does. I don't really want to think about that at all because I'd eventually like to, you know, get back to smooching to my wife. And that's a killer right there. We've noticed that Glenn Greenwald, the stank coming off of him is now so bad that even people who aren't Drift Class notice it.
That is absolutely true. He's spent so many hours on the Laura Ingraham show that people are starting to notice. Wait a minute.
Yes. Adam Schiff owes my friend Vladimir Putin a personal apology. Yeah. You know, he's getting awfully close to that. And where does Edward Snowden live again? I forget. Where does Edward Snowden call home now? Oh, yeah.
Moscow.
That's right. That's right.
CNN is having all the wrong people on television.
Yeah.
I just want to say, you know. Congratulations for giving a platform to Steve Bannon. Yeah,
Anderson Cooper. I'm sort of making a joke of a joke, but if you just glance past it really fast, I thought it was Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Somebody made that joke that Bill Barr looks like Steve Bannon was put through Queer Eye. Yeah.
I look over, I see Anderson Cooper, I see Steve Bannon. I'm hearing in my head, I can work with this. I can work with this. This is like a big, smelly piece of...
If we cut your hair and clean you up and wash you down with lye, I'll love it.
Yeah. A big stanky slab of marble I can shape into something amazing.
Uh-huh.
Except that's, of course, what wasn't what it was. It was because there is a quota system and you're obliged by some rule that no one ever tells anyone about that to put...
To have a white nationalist on.
Because that's the rules. The whitest man on television has the white nationalist on in the white on white hour. Yeah. So... That's very exciting. Yes, we need to get to our news roundup, which is very exciting this week.
Trump ally Jerry Falwell's Liberty University landed a Pentagon contract, allegedly for jet fuel.
Jet fuel, baby. Jet fuel.
Months after Trump's election. Yeah. Coincidence? I think not.
It's actually a company they own that I think services the Liberty University jets or planes that doesn't sell jet fuel, has never been in this business before, but suddenly has a big fat contract from the Trump administration.
Wait a minute. Liberty University owns jets? Private jets?
I think the Liberty Corporation owns a company that services their jets. I'm not into their books.
Yeah.
The only book that I know of that they believe in, darling, is the
Old
Testament.
Two Corinthians?
It's the Old Testament. They have the Old Testament and like two chapters of the New Testament.
Okay.
That's pretty much all they know about. The part about gays and Revelation. And everything else is just yada, yada,
and then
yada.
Stuff they made up about abortion that isn't in the Bible. Yeah, sorry.
Isn't in the Bible, never will be in the Bible, and so forth. Donald Trump called on House Intelligence Committee Adam Schiff to resign after the Mueller report did not conclude the Trump campaign conspired with Russia. Trump said Schiff spent two years knowingly and unlawfully lying and leaking and should therefore be forced to resign from Congress.
He also called him a traitor. He also called him everything. Yeah. And his Donald Trump's lackeys on the committee also called for him to resign. And that's a bunch of bullshit.
It's so bad. Yeah. You know how bad it is?
How bad?
At some point, David Brooks might ask him to apologize. And at some point, Susan Collins may draft a stern letter
about how suggesting she's concerned.
That his language is a little too harsh. Your language is a little harsh. And maybe the bipartisanship is getting in the way of.
Is she going to give a 45-minute speech about it?
Yeah. She's just going to stand there holding Yorick's skull, looking bemused.
Yeah. William Barr is expected to miss the House Democrats' April 2nd deadline for him to turn in the full Mueller report to Congress. If Barr misses the deadline, Democrats are expected to subpoena the Justice Department for the full report, and that will go to court. April 2nd, by the way, is also Election Day in Illinois. If it's Election Day where you are, get out and vote.
I'm urging the girls to use this as an excuse and Junior Dude for not getting their homework in ever. They're busy redacting it. You said the deadline is next week. I've had to go through this thing. I'm not sure of all the implications. It's going to be months before I can let you see any of this. Here's a sentence fragment I pulled off of Wikipedia. That'll just have to do for now. I'm sorry. Energy Secretary Rick Perry. Remember him?
Yeah.
He's exciting, people. He approved six secret authorizations for companies looking into selling nuclear power technology to Saudi Arabia. Remember when Uranium One was a hanging offense?
Uranium One is still a hanging offense on Hannity.
Yes. Yeah.
And yet we are secretly authorizing companies to sell nuclear technology to Saudi Arabia. Okay.
Mm. Yeah. Not so secretly anymore.
No, apparently not. Good for the reporters that uncovered that one. What happens if the Affordable Care Act is overturned? 21 million people could lose their health insurance and 12 million adults could lose Medicaid coverage. We could go back to under 26 losing their coverage, cuts to Medicaid and Medicare. The donut hole will be reopened and
pre-existing conditions are gone.
Conditions are gone, which my congressman promised was a personal thing to him. And he would never let that happen.
Never, ever, ever. Donald Trump, on that vein, pledged to have a plan that is, quote, far better than Obamacare. If the Supreme Court strikes down the whole Affordable Care Act saying, I understand health care now. No, you don't. You're a fucking moron. You don't understand anything. Trump did not provide details or anything about what would replace it, but just said that his party is the great healthcare party and yada, 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 exactly what he said a year ago. He was lying then. He's lying now. Next year, he'll be lying about this as well.
His HHS secretary doesn't want him to do this, but Mick Mulvaney did. So he's going to go with it.
Yeah.
Also, noted healthcare expert Mick Mulvaney. Yes. Okay.
Noted Tea Party lunatic Mick Mulvaney.
56% of Americans don't believe that Trump and his campaign have been exonerated of collusion. 77% of Republicans say Trump has been exonerated. 80% of Democrats and 58% of independents say he has not. And it's always that 44% solid. Chris Hayes had a tweet that said, you know, it's always the same poll, no matter what. There's just this solid group of people who only believe what they hear on Fox News.
And you know what? I'm going to tell you a terrible secret. Go back and look at George Bush's numbers when they were way, way down.
Exactly the same fucking group of people.
And that's when John Dean and someone else was talking about the hardcore 30% of Americans who are just hardwired authoritarians. Mm-hmm. And they're all the same party and they're all Republicans and they all watch Fox News. And that was long before Donald Trump ever showed up and claimed them for his own. Mitch McConnell, doing Mitch McConnell's job, blocked a second resolution in the Senate calling for Mueller's report to be made public. Way to go, Mitch.
The House failed to overturn Trump's veto of legislation blocking his national emergency declaration at the border. Look for more chaos in the Department of Defense as a result.
Yeah. George Papadopoulos, remember him, has formally applied for a pardon from Trump, which means he has to formally admit his guilt. And it's weird because he's already been convicted. He's already done his time and he's already back out.
He said in jail he had cred because he was a Trump supporter. Because all the people in prison love Donald Trump. All the white people in his prison love Donald Trump.
You know, I was in the same cell as D'Souza, man. That's the kind of time I did. Yeah. Yeah.
Trump asked for his top aides for ways to limit federal funding for Puerto Rico. Because he's a dick. Trump has also privately suggested that he will not approve any additional help for Puerto Rico beyond the food stamp money.
Yeah. Donald Trump declared that Mueller's report was a complete and total exoneration, despite Mueller saying the investigation does not exonerate him. It really is just that simple. It's black and white.
I want such a backlash that we have statehood for Puerto Rico.
I think Puerto Rico should do whatever Puerto Rico wants. If they want to be a state, that's great.
Exactly. We should have a vote on that in Puerto Rico. And if they want statehood, then they just get it. Period.
Absolutely. Same with the District of Columbia. Absolutely the same. Yep.
Okay. We have some local flavor. There was a protest in Springfield this week.
Yes.
It was the annual pro-gun advocates march to the Capitol lobby day. Typical quote, Representative Darren Bailey. Guess which party from Xenia, Illinois, said as he travels through his district in southern Illinois, which is south of us, by the way, people ask him, what is he going to do about the bad bills being proposed that will take away my guns from and give them to Obama? I promise you that when that line is drawn on the sand, we are going to be one of the first ones there because I will never, ever give up my AR-15 or any other gun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Barack Obama's long. Obama's gone. No one's coming for your fucking pistols. None of that's happening. But these assholes are still panic peddling in the streets of Springfield, a couple of miles from our house. And you know what? It's been a week of protests. There's always a march downtown.
Well, we're the state capitol, so that is true. The Girl Scouts come and do their lobby day. There's lobby days that go on where people are invited in by various representatives to do things. But this one is...
And the Girl Scouts The Girl Scouts cleared out just in time for Stormy Daniels to do her protest downtown.
No tax on pole dancers. Yeah, she doesn't want a pole dance tax.
Keep your hands off our poles. So
you didn't go to that. I was surprised. I was surprised you didn't go to that protest.
I only go to Stormy Daniels protest for the articles, honey. I swear to God. This is what you have at the state capitol. It happens all the time. Speaking of local idiots, South Jacksonville Village Trustee candidate Stacy Wallace Pinkerton, who's seeking yet another four-year term as a trustee in Tuesday's election, decided to share her rather rustic views of non-English-speaking customers at her husband's shop on Facebook. She wrote the post after a Spanish-speaking customer from Beardstown came to her husband's shop and didn't speak English. Neither did she, neither does her husband. She doesn't work there, but she was nearby. And she said, and I quote, OMG, some people, and I mean the people who don't speak English. She went on to call the customer a stupid expletive who, quote, can't figure out that we don't know what he is saying. That attitude?
Yeah, that was her showing off her intelligence and her ability to represent all people as a South Jacksonville Village trustee, right? Let's end on a happier note. The Supreme Court refused to hear the whiny gun owners demand their bump stocks. So the bump stock ban is in place as of today. A federal judge struck down the 20-week abortion ban in North Carolina as stupid and ridiculous. And another federal judge struck down the work requirements in Arkansas and Kentucky for Medicaid. So those are good things that happened this week. And let's celebrate those. And onward, I want to particularly thank the person on Twitter who, after the bar memo came out, tweeted in professional left fashion, chop wood, carry water.
Yep.
Before the bar letter, chop wood, carry water. After the bar letter, chop wood, carry water. We've got an election to win in 2020. We've got an election to win on Tuesday in Illinois. So get to work. I'm looking forward to whoever is going to run against Rodney Davis in 2020.
I'm keeping my ear close to the ground. You know that I know people who are real high up in the campaign.
I know you know people who are in that in that frame of influence, and you've met with some of them this week.
I did.
You got to sit next to the school board chairman, right?
Yeah, superintendent of school.
The superintendent of schools, this week in a meeting.
For an unimportant person, I know a lot of important people.
Driftglass gets around and is doing his part to keep the Springfield community going. And I'm very grateful for that.
The thing that endeared me to my wife, we'll end on this happy note, is mm-hmm. that this very long meeting I was at had a social period afterwards. And I being a very tall guy, I've learned the art of disappearing very quietly. So I was walking down the street, heading to the car, heading back home, and called and said, I there's a social thing. And you know, I don't like those. So
you don't like small talk, right?
I'd love to sit in the room and talk about the policy for reforms and ideas for another hour. That'd be great. But right. I just, the other thing is, and my wife said, that's why I love you.
That's why I love you.
One of the many, many, many reasons.
You and I are both wired that way. We could talk in front of a group of 2,000 people sure. with no yeah. problem yeah. about politics or anything else.
And we can hang with our tribe. We can hang with our tribe comfortably, but.
Yeah. We can sit around a table and chat politics for however long, but. Mm-hmm. Big cocktail parties where you're asked to find, how are you? No, we can't do that.
No.
We're just not wired that way.
No,
I do love you for that. So, all right. That's a nice thing to end in on.
Yeah.
We love our listeners too. Guys, we love you. Mm-hmm. Hang in there. Take a break if you need to. Know that we love you. And we're going to just keep working.
It's just that our next meetup, expect me to disappear shortly after the prepared remark.
He's going to have had enough. Drift Class had enough. Each week, we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitty is Persephone. Persephone is a lovely kitty. And you should visit her at our Facebook page or website. You can send your internet kitty to us or any other pet to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com. And that's where you send your audio clip as well. Give me a minute of who you are, where you are, and what you're doing to make the world a better place. We'd love to hear from you. Mm-hmm. ProLeftPodcast@gmail.com. You can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service. Go Postal Unions! Letter on the air unless you say otherwise. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. It's iced coffee season. We've got windows open here for the first time this year.
We do.
And that's exciting. Spring has sprung.
The cats are freaking out, man.
The cats are freaking out with the windows open. Yeah, all the birds outside. So if you go out and get an iced coffee for yourself, think about buying one for us and donating $5 or so to our podcast. You can find all of the information on how to do that at proleftpod.com. We've got our PayPal and postal address and GoFundMe and everything else there. Proleftpod.com. Please share our show on social media. And thank you so much for doing that. Hey, Driftglass, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
Well, Blue Gal, the Internet Kitties wish to announce formally that they have been completely and totally exonerated for that thing that happened in the kitchen.
Let's think about living.
Think about living.
Let's think about loving.
Think about loving.
Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, lovey dovin'. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with a switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
The Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2018, DGBG Productions Incorporated.